It's 12:30 a.m. on the night of April 8th, 2009. Off the coast of East Africa, the container ship Maersk Alabama glides quietly through the dark waters. Captain Richard Phillips is asleep in his cabin. On the ship's bridge, one of the crew members is keeping the night watch. Everything seems calm and quiet. But suddenly, three dots appear on the ship's radar. The dots are approaching the ship, faster and faster. Meanwhile, the third officer has received a message over the radio saying, "This is Somali Pirate. This is Somali Pirate. I'm coming to get you." This is Mayday, a show about disasters and accidents. In this episode, we talk about the Maersk Alabama pirate attack, where an American ship captain was taken hostage by four pirates off the coast of Somalia. The hosts of this episode are Luke Welland and me, Maya Nalani. Mayday is made by the podcast company, Cast.
It is April 2009, and the container ship Maersk Alabama is docked at the port of Salalah, Oman, on the Arabian Peninsula. From there, via a short stop in Djibouti, it will round the Horn of Africa before getting to its final destination of Mombasa in Kenya. There, they will unload 5 tons of much-needed supplies from the UN food program, which will then be transported to refugee camps around the continent. The people in these camps are completely dependent on the food being delivered on time. But the transport route is anything but safe, because the waters along the east coast of Africa have been ravaged by pirates since the late 20th century. Piracy began after the Somali Civil War in 1991, when local warlords started selling illegal fishing licenses to foreign vessels fishing in international waters off the coast. Local fishermen, who are supposed to have exclusive rights in those waters, then took up arms to defend their livelihoods. And eventually, when it becomes clear that raiding the waves is more profitable than fishing, many turn to piracy. At first, they simply hijack intruding fishing vessels and demand ransom to return them. But over time, the illegal activity expands and the pirates start attacking all types of vessels. In 2008, the piracy business brings in around $120 million, thanks to the large ransoms. A standard attack begins between 5 a.m. and 8 a.m., just before sunrise. Fast boats come out of nowhere, hidden by the morning mist, and when they arrive, the pirates throw hooks over the rails. The hooks are attached to ropes, which the pirates use to board the ships. Then the hostage drama begins. The pirates are usually armed with automatic rifles, grenade launchers, pistols, and knives. They often chew the narcotic plant, khat, to stay alert. Khat's positive effects are followed by irritation, anxiety, depression, or psychosis. A bad combination when the users have weapons that can fire 600 rounds a minute.
One of the people traveling along the dangerous coast of Somalia is American Captain Richard Phillips, serving on the Maersk Alabama. Phillips had originally intended to become a lawyer, but he's a bit of an adventurer and was soon lured out of the dry courts of law and into a life at sea. Now, 50 years old, he has become an experienced captain. At the end of March, Phillips will be in Oman to sign on. Despite having captained the same ship before, the years have taught him the importance of checking both the boat and the crew before departure. Even if everyone is ready to go, you must complete two tasks. Check the ship and talk to the crew to find out what the mood is like on the boat. Otherwise, things can go very wrong. Captain Phillips takes a tour of the ship. He notices that the doors to several critical areas, such as the engine room, cargo hold, and bridge, are open and unlocked. Phillips feels the anxiety growing inside him.
The security on board is inadequate for a ship that is about to enter the world's most pirate-infested waters.
Phillips meets two of the crew and is somewhat reassured. One is Shane Murphy, a young and hardworking first mate. Murphy's role is to help plan the route, monitor the ship's progress, avoid collisions, manage radio communications, and supervise loading. The second is Mike Perry, a former naval officer who now works as a chief engineer. He has overall responsibility for the ship's machinery and technical equipment on board. The Maersk Alabama leaves the coastal city of Salalah on April 1, 2009. The weather is perfect, and the ship chugs out to sea in calm waters, the kind of day that makes Phillips glad he chose this profession. The journey south to Mombasa is usually a pleasant one, but in the first 3 months of the year, piracy in the area has increased by 20%, with 36 ships boarded and 3 sailors killed. So it's no wonder that Captain Phillips has been careful to review security before departure.
2 days after departure, on April 3rd, Captain Phillips is sitting in his cabin reading the latest news. 10 new pirate attacks have been reported. For the past few days, he has been trying to drill the crew for possible attacks, but nothing seems to work. Commands are misunderstood, doors are left open, even the all-important pirate hoses seem to be malfunctioning. Pirate hoses are special fire hoses attached to the railings, used to send down powerful jets of water and stop the pirates from getting on board. Captain Phillips thinks he will have to rely on two things to survive a possible pirate attack. Firstly, at the slightest suspicion, he will activate the ship's whistle, which can be heard several miles away. The sound will show the pirates that they have been detected, but will also attract the attention of nearby ships. Second salvation could be a secret room in a secluded corridor behind the bridge, which Captain Phillips found while inspecting the boat in the harbor. The room is a refuge that is almost impossible to get to unless you already know it is there. On April 5th, after 4 days of travel, the Maersk Alabama arrives at its first stop, Djibouti. Rumors of pirates have been heard on the radio, but nothing has been seen on the radar or during the watch. After the stop in Djibouti, it is time to steer the ship further south, rounding the Horn of Africa and continuing along the Somali coast, all the way to Mombasa in Kenya. The crew continues to practice the procedures for a man overboard situation, how to quickly launch a lifeboat, and how to increase the pressure in the pirate hoses. On the night of April 6th, 3 dots are suddenly spotted on the radar moving towards the ship. They could be pirates. Captain Phillips has a crazy idea. He gets on the radio, tunes into a frequency he knows the pirates can hear, and pretends to be a military ship that has made contact with the Maersk Alabama. He plays both himself and a naval commander. Meanwhile, his colleagues call the 2 phone numbers they have been told to call in case of a crisis, one for the British military and one for the US. The British say it's probably fishermen heading for the ship, but still think they should be fully prepared for a pirate attack. lock the doors and call in if anything else happens. The American number never answers. Captain Phillips continues his act on the radio, and eventually the dots disappear from the radar. Phillips exhales, satisfied with his ruse.
2 days pass without anything out of the ordinary happening. The Maersk Alabama is quietly heading south along the coast of Somalia, just as planned. But then, on the night of April 8th, Phillips is woken up at 3:30 a.m. The person on the so-called dog watch between midnight and 4 o'clock has reported hearing strange voices on the radio. The message is as blunt as it is terrifying. This is Somali Pirate. I'm coming to get you. The guard tells Phillips that they have just passed a ship with its lanterns lit that he thought was a fishing boat. A pirate ship would hardly have been illuminated, the guard reasons, but rather tried to hide in the dark. Captain Phillips looks out over the stern with his binoculars. He sees the boat some distance away and notes that another, smaller boat is moored next to it. But nothing seems to be happening. The larger boat, the one with the lanterns, is drifting just like a fishing boat, and the smaller one is not moving. Phillips returns to his bunk and goes back to sleep. A few hours later, at 6 o'clock, Phillips wakes up again. His first mate, Shane Murphy, has now taken over the watch, and Phillips goes straight to the bridge to check how the situation has developed during the night. Just as Phillips enters the room, he sees a suspicious dot approaching on the radar. First Officer Murphy calls the British crisis telephone, which at least answered the last time they called. The operators ask him to call back if the boat gets suspiciously close. But Murphy doesn't just sit there and wait. He sends up flares and triggers both the boat's internal alarm and the loud ship's whistle that is meant to draw attention to the ship. Captain Phillips goes and wakes up Mike Perry, the chief engineer, and then goes back to the bridge to look at the radar. Now, the unidentified dot is even closer. It appears to be a 30 to 40 foot long boat. Phillips yells at another sailor to call the emergency number again.
The call is interrupted by gunfire. Soon they hear bullets bouncing off the hull, and there's no longer any doubt these are pirates. And they're getting closer and closer. Captain Phillips tells Chief Engineer Perry to increase the speed to the maximum, 18 knots, and starts zigzagging the massive ship in an attempt to stop the approaching boat from coming alongside. First Mate Murphy runs to the pirate hoses on the side he thinks their pursuers are coming from. He twists them one by one, maximizing the pressure. The water rushes out of the hoses and whips the surface of the water below. But the pirate boat is too small and fast and manages to find a small gap between two of the jets. They get past and cruise alongside the ship. The men on board the small craft haul out a ladder. It doesn't look long enough at first, but soon it unfolds and becomes three times longer. They throw the edges of the ladder, which are fitted with hooks, against the railing. And despite the high speed, they manage to get a grip on the Maersk Alabama's railing. Just seconds later, Captain Phillips shouts, "Pirates on board!" over the internal radio and yells at the crew to take refuge in the secret room he found when inspecting the boat before departure. He himself intends to stay and defend the bridge. But he is not alone. Some of the crew members make the same sacrifice and stay by the captain's side. The pirates are four men, aged between 20 and 25. Their thin bodies are dressed in jeans and t-shirts, and in their hands are automatic rifles, AK-47s, which they use to shoot wildly around them, in the air, on walls, and on doors. Captain Phillips and the crew on the bridge throw themselves to the ground to avoid the hail of bullets. First Officer Murphy sees his chance and starts running down the side of the ship. The pirates enter the bridge, and Captain Phillips has an AK-47 pointed at him. "Just business," says the pirate. "Stop the boat." Captain Phillips explains that it may take some time. Now a game begins with the pirates, where Phillips plays with the highest possible stakes. He realizes that the pirates do not know how the ship's technology works. He pretends to shut down the ship, but does everything very slowly and a little wrong to buy time for the crew to get to safety. Phillips says that the electrical systems must have been damaged when the pirates were shooting around, and the pirates don't seem to question this.
Captain Phillips looks at the four armed young men. He quickly identifies one of them as the leader, and that he's called Muse. He walks up to Captain Phillips and explains that he is just a negotiator, while the others are mad pirates. At this point, the ship is still running, but no longer moving. The pirates call for the rest of the crew to come forward. Phillips calls his crew via the internal radio, but nothing happens. It is now around 7:30 in the morning. By 9 o'clock, the pirates are starting to lose patience. They have not discovered that crew members have been able to control parts of the boat from a lower engine room. Among other things, they've managed to turn the ship's large rudder. This created powerful waves that hit the pirates' boat, causing it to capsize and drift away. The four heavily armed men begin to threaten Captain Phillips. They will shoot the few crew members they've captured unless the whole crew comes forward at once. The threats continue for several hours. The pirates force Captain Phillips and the others who are not hiding to join the search for more of the crew. Several times, the crew members have to hide in nooks and crannies or behind machinery to escape the pirates' frantic search. Once the four pirates have passed the narrow hiding places, the crew manages to get to the secret room, one by one.
Deadline after deadline is passed, but no one is shot. This gives Captain Phillips hope. After a few more hours, the pirates say they want a working radio. Captain Phillips digs one out and dials the number the pirates ask him to call, but it doesn't work. Phillips notes that it appears to be broken. The pirates are displeased but give up the radio hunt. In fact, the radio works perfectly fine. But for the call to go through, an additional combination must be entered in addition to the phone number, which Phillips never did. The pirates become increasingly frustrated and angry. Amidst the tension, the armed men make a final attempt to find the rest of the crew. The leader, Muse, leaves the group and takes one of Captain Phillips's men with him. Chief Engineer Mike Perry is still hiding out on the ship, but has managed to get hold of a knife. When he hears the two men approaching, he lunges at the leader, Muse, with the knife in his hand. Muse's hand is cut, and he is eventually overpowered. Now, the crew has one of the pirates as a hostage. Chief Engineer Perry announces this over the internal radio. Now the young pirates have had enough. They no longer want to carry out their plan to capture the entire crew and then demand a huge ransom. They will settle for the ship's $30,000 cash box. If they can exchange the leader, Muse, for Captain Phillips and leave the ship undisturbed via a small motorboat found on the ship. Captain Phillips, still trying to outsmart the intruders, manages to fool them that the battery of the small motorboat is broken. Instead, he persuades them to choose a motorized lifeboat with a roof and plexiglass windows. Phillips gets into the boat with the three pirates to show them how to operate it. Everything seems to go according to plan, but when the leader, Muse, finally steps into the boat, the pirates shout, "Deal off!" and leave with Captain Phillips. The crew remaining on the Maersk, Alabama, can only watch.
At the same time, two American warships, the USS Bainbridge and the USS Halliburton, arrive. The pirates threaten to shoot Phillips if the warships attack. A stalemate ensues. A third warship arrives on the scene to escort the Maersk Alabama to its final destination of Mombasa, Kenya. First Officer Shane Murphy and Chief Engineer Mike Perry must accompany the ship, leaving Captain Phillips in a perilous situation. The pirates are surprised when the previously quote-unquote broken ship simply starts up and chugs away. The four armed men slowly make their way towards the Somali coast, with Captain Phillips as hostage and the warships behind them. Phillips realizes that the pirates are probably not much more than four young lost boys who were now pitted against the US Navy. He is now faced with a difficult challenge. He needs to keep the pirates calm so as not to risk being in the line of fire himself in a possible firefight. Captain Phillips has managed to build up some trust with the pirates. After all, he's always done what they've asked, even if he's ensured that in the end, things have not gone the pirates' way. Phillips offers to redress the knife wound on the hand of the leader, Muse. The pirates agree and even give him a knife to help with the bandage. A lot of trust to give a captive. The next day, Captain Phillips does something completely unexpected. He tries to escape. Phillips, who had previously been so cunning in the hostage situation, now acts without thinking. He throws himself into the water and hides under the lifeboat. As he tries to swim out, one of the pirates fires a swarm of bullets into the water around him. At this point, Philip seems to realize that the escape attempt may be a death sentence. He turns around in the water and swims back to the pirate's boat. Now, the mood of the small group has completely changed. The cot-chewing pirates have lost all faith in Phillips, who is now being threatened, tied up, and beaten repeatedly.
The sun is high in the sky, and it is getting unbearably hot in the lifeboat. Captain Phillips is dazed and confused. The day after the escape attempt, the leader, Muse, begins to claim that the pirates are actually working for the U.S. Navy and that it's all just an advanced exercise. A claim he continues to bring up on and off throughout the day. Phillips doesn't know if it's true, if the drug-addled pirates are just rambling or if the heat is playing tricks on him. Suddenly a shot echoes through the air. Phillips feels a loud bang on the side of his head. He has been accidentally shot or beaten, he's not sure. He's still tightly bound and cannot really see what has happened.
Another day passes. Without enough fuel, the pirates' only chance is to get help from other Somali pirates. Then they could transport Captain Phillips to the mainland and hold him hostage there. They're therefore frantically trying to find accomplices via satellite phone. Meanwhile, the official hostage negotiations between the pirates, the captain of the American warship USS Bainbridge, and the FBI's special hostage negotiator have begun. The fact that negotiations have begun is a good sign. But shortly thereafter, they come to an abrupt halt when the pirates suddenly start shooting at the other American warship, the USS Halliburton. The shooting doesn't hurt anyone, and the fire is not returned by the Americans. it is important not to make the already nervous pirates even more agitated. On Friday, April 10th, 2 days after the pirates first boarded the Maersk Alabama, the winds in the area increase. The armed young men have still not managed to find any companions to help them out of the situation. And eventually, the American negotiators manage to persuade the pirates to allow themselves to be towed to the mainland by the warships. The leader, Muse, also agrees to have his injured hand treated on board one of the ships, continuing his role as negotiator there instead. The pirates still threaten to kill Captain Phillips if anything happens to leader Muse.
The next day, Saturday, April 11th, a helicopter hovers over the small motorized lifeboat. What the pirates don't know is that a group of U.S. Navy SEALs are on board. Down in the lifeboat, Captain Phillips is losing hope. He is injured and dazed by the heat. At one point, he tries to incite the pirates to shoot him. One of the pirates seems to toy with the idea. On Sunday, April 12th, the ship's command receives reports of a pirate aiming his AK-47 directly at Captain Phillips's back and assesses that his life is in immediate danger. The small motorized lifeboat is still pulled about 30 meters behind the American warship. It's terribly hot in the lifeboat. Finally, one of the pirates gets fed up and smashes the boat's plexiglass window with his AK-47 to let in air. This gives the Navy SEALs the good visibility and clear path they've been waiting for. As the pirates all stand up at once to get some fresh air, the American snipers fire 3 simultaneous shots. The pirates are hit in the head at the same time and die instantly. Captain Phillips, tied to the floor of the lifeboat, does not understand what is happening at first. But the hostage drama is over.
The leader, Muse, the only surviving pirate, is flown to the U.S. to stand trial. Prosecutors file charges of piracy, ship hijacking, and hostage taking. His lawyers request that he be tried as a minor, as he was no more than 15 or 16 years old at the time of the hijacking. The court decides that Muse was not a minor and does not agree with the lawyer's request. Muse admits that he was actually 18 years old at the time of the hijacking and pleads guilty. The sentence is 33 years and 9 months in prison. 14 months after the attack, Captain Phillips returns to work. Long after those fateful April days, he describes the drama in his book, A Captain's Duty, later made into a movie starring Tom Hanks. But while Phillips is clearly portrayed as a hero, several crew members, including Chief Engineer Mike Perry, have strongly questioned Captain Phillips' hero status. They say that Phillips repeatedly ignored warnings, that he did not keep the ship far enough from the dangerous Somali coast, and that he took all the credit himself. Regardless, what happened aboard the Maersk Alabama was nothing short of a nightmare. Captain Phillips and his crew had set out to deliver food to refugee camps, but instead found themselves in one of the worst situations imaginable. In their case, resourcefulness and a strong will to survive saw them get out safely on the other side. But sadly, piracy remains a problem in a region struggling with widespread poverty and desperation. What happened on the Maersk Alabama is likely to be repeated time and time again. This has been Mayday, about the Maersk Alabama pirate attack. The hosts of this episode were Luke Welland and me, Maya Nalani. The script was written by Patrick Smith. Sound design by Victor Persson. Mayday is made by us at the podcast company, Cast.